countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
And together with the European Union, we're launching a global methane pledge to collectively reduce methane emissions, one of the most potent greenhouse gases, by at least 30% by the end of the decade. More than 70 countries have already signed up to support rapid reduction of methane pollution, and I encourage every nation to sign on. It's the simple, most effective strategy we have to slow global warming in the near term.
U.S. President Joe Biden on the fight to tackle methane emissions at the COP26 summit in Glasgow. Methane is produced from a variety of sources, but in Ireland, with agriculture our biggest industry, it tallies that livestock are the biggest emitters of methane. The Irish government has given a firm commitment to join that global fight and reduce methane emissions by 30%. To try and put all of this in context, I'm joined this morning from Glasgow by Miles Allen, who is Professor of Geosystem Science at the School of Geography and the Environment in the University of Oxford, also a lead author on the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. We're also joined by Dr. Fionnuala Murphy, co-lead investigator on Farm Zero C and assistant professor at the School of Biosystems and Food Engineering in UCD, who is trialling many other ideas on how to reduce methane on farms. But first, John Keane is president of Macro na Farma, Young Farmers Organisation. He was at COP this week in Glasgow. John, good morning. Tell me about the atmosphere in the place. Did you see all the great and the good, and what was it like to be there?
Good morning, Damien, and good morning to all your listeners. From an experience point of view, Damien, it was a fantastic opportunity, as you say, to rub shoulders with the great and the good, and to rub shoulders with some of the main change makers across the world. I think your intro there from Joe Biden is part of it, but I think where I took and where my colleague Gillian Richardson in Macra took most of our solace from was actually the young people who were driving the environmental change across the globe. And I think none more so than we met a lady from the Pan-African Young Farmers Association in the region of 80 million members who are addressing climate change on that continent. And it was refreshing to see that it is young people who are the majority who are driving the change, pushing that change forward across the globe. And I think it came back home to Ireland with a real sense of optimism and a real sense of that young people are going to be the people who drive that change on a global scale and not just at a national scale. And I think that was one of the big things that we took away from COP this week.
Well, has your perspective on the future of farming changed as a result of your visitation this week?
I think from the point of view of farming in this country, and it was something as we told our story to the different nations in attendance and the different delegates that we met, the fabric of what agriculture looks like in Ireland, and it was a realisation for ourselves as well as from others that the agriculture in Ireland is not represented or reflected in the other agricultural systems across the globe, but it's very different in terms of our outdoor pasture-based systems. And I think from a young farmer's point of view within Ireland, I think we are perfectly positioned to meet that global demand for increasing food and to also meet the demand from an increasing focus on the environmental pressures.
Right.
And I think that was something which was echoed from contributors on the various panels that we've attended out in COP, and indeed from some of the sentiments that were expressed from some officials as well in relation to the role that agriculture has to play in meeting our environmental commitments.
All right. You spoke with your colleagues and counterparts from sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, was there any sense from them that the sort of farming systems that we have in place in the Northern Hemisphere, in Europe, the subsidisation of farming here, the fact that we export so much milk powder and so on to Africa as well, did they give you any sense that that is actually affecting them negatively?
I think quite the contrary, Damien. For the people that we spoke, the research that is in particularly in Ireland and other countries that we would have spoke about into how agriculture has progressed, the type of systems in terms of nutrient management, in terms of water management, in terms of inclusive biodiversity and soil management is something which they were very interested in learning more about and implementing some of the practices that are here. But I also think it was a realisation from our side of things that agriculture on that continent looks very different. And in fact that soil erosion and desertification are huge issues in that part of the world. And it did make the realisation from us that how lucky we are to farm on soils within this country that are the type of soils that they are, the climate that we're in and our ability to grow grass all year round. It was something which was reinforced, I suppose, the position here and highlighted the importance of agriculture as it is sustainable here within the country.
Well, of course, the reason there are so many problems probably in Africa and other places is because of climate change and the effects that it's having on soil there. Stay with me, John. Professor Miles Allen, how has the experience been for you this week in Glasgow?
I only arrived yesterday, actually, but I've been sort of working on the methane methane pledge and methane for years, actually. So this is this we knew this was coming, and it's good news globally for the effort to stem climate change.
Yeah.
But I think it needs also to be kept in perspective.
Well, methane in Ireland is overwhelmingly aligned with, to not put too fine a point on it, with belching cattle. So can you tell us a little bit more about it in a global context and why it is so destructive for people listening to us that don't really know and understand the effects of methane on the environment?
Well, methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas, no question there. And at the moment, methane emissions are going up. And that's actually causing a lot of global warming. So we have to get that under control. We have to stop increasing methane emissions and put them on a downward path. But the total amount of warming that will be avoided by reducing methane emissions by 30% is around a tenth of a degree. So to put that in perspective, that's about the warming we've had due to fossil fuel emissions, carbon dioxide, since the Paris Agreement in 2015. So yes, reducing methane emissions can help, but in the big picture, it's the accumulation of carbon dioxide from fossil fuels that is the elephant in the corner.
And what are the big drivers globally of methane? We know in Ireland it's livestock, it's cows, but where does it sit globally?
Well, globally, it's roughly 50-50, agriculture, and then industry and waste management is the other half. And a lot of the industrial methane emissions really are pretty pointless. It's sort of natural gas leaking out of pipelines. If you fix the pipes, you not only save yourself money because natural gas is valuable, you stop the impact on the environment. So that's really where everybody's focused to start with. The fossil fuel industry needs to really get its act together and stop the methane leaks into the atmosphere. That is, you know, that will, if we do that, we will largely deliver the 30% methane pledge. And that's got to be the priority.
Well, reducing cattle numbers around the world as well would be another, obviously, positive in all of this. But there is a debate about carbon leakage and where is the most efficient place to produce meat and dairy. What is your view on that argument?
Well, there's a lot of elements to that. There's the sort of rights of existing farmers. There's the rights of developing countries to develop their herds and so forth. I wouldn't want to get into that. But the one area which I do think farmers deserve a fair hearing on is that we should be reporting warming impact, so the impact of our activities on global temperature, not the very misleading carbon footprint that's used by everybody, including the UNFCCC, where we pretend methane is kind of an equivalent to carbon dioxide. And that doesn't actually reflect its impact on global temperature at all.
But it's a very potent gas, much more potent than other greenhouse gases, isn't that right?
It's a potent gas, but it's short-lived. So any increase in methane emissions has a big warming impact, more than sort of 4 to 5 times what you'd think by looking at the conventional accounting system. But a steady methane emissions, constant methane emissions. So if you've got a herd of cattle that has been around for you know, generations and you haven't been increasing it or decreasing it, then your methane emissions are actually causing 3 to 4 times less warming than would be implied by those conventional carbon footprint calculations.
But if you were if you're to increase numbers, absolute emissions go up, though.
Increasing numbers has a lot of damage. Keeping numbers stable does much less damage than people think. And, of course, if you can reduce methane emissions, and crucially, if you can reduce methane emissions by about, say, 3% per decade, then your methane emissions are not having any further warming impact on climate. You're not cooling the climate, but you're not making matters any worse. The difference with carbon dioxide is very stark. As long as you're emitting carbon dioxide, you're driving up global temperatures. The only way to stop carbon dioxide from causing global warming is to stop dumping it into the atmosphere. That's it.
So,
but methane is different. If we manage to reduce methane emissions by just 3% per decade, then methane emissions will no longer be causing any further global warming. And I think farmers have a reasonable case to say this should be reflected in national accounts. Countries should report their warming impact and individual sectors' warming impact, as well as this carbon footprint calculation that everybody already does.
OK, stay with me. Dr. Fionnuala Murphy is assistant professor at the School of Biosystems and Food Engineering in UCD, who's involved in trialling ways to reach net zero livestock farming. So we might begin with what's going on there in Bandon and Cork. Fionnuala, tell me about the Carbery demonstration farm. What's going on there to try and reduce methane emissions from cattle?
Hi, Damien. So it's the Farm Zero C project. We're working with dairy farmers at West Cork, as you said, which is part of the Carbery Co-op. So what we're doing is we're trialling a number of different mitigation strategies towards reducing emissions to 2023 and beyond. So by 2023, we hope to have halved the carbon footprint of the farm and increase the biodiversity also of the farm as well.
So will this involve reducing numbers or reducing output?
It won't involve either. So essentially what we're doing from a methane point of view, is trialling a number of feed additives that have been developed globally to reduce greenhouse or methane emissions from, we'll say, cattle belching, as you mentioned earlier on. So we're trialling those out in the project to determine, in the Irish context, what sort of emissions reductions we can achieve by maintaining feeding levels, so adding these feed additives, so essentially not reducing any cattle numbers or productivity.
So by changing, I don't want to simplify this too much, but you're saying that by adapting new technologies mainly focused on a change of diet, in other words, what you're feeding the cows, can have the impact of reducing methane from those individual animals?
Yes, so trials have shown with some of the feed additives you can get a reduction in methane of around 30%. If we think about Irish agriculture, though, because it's mainly grass-based, that potential would reduce because those additives may need to be fed on a more regular basis, but if the cows are grazing, that makes it more difficult. So that's what we're trying to do in this project, carry out the feeding trials reflecting the Irish condition to see what sort of emissions reduction we can utilise by implementing those strategies.
Now, there are other areas of the farm where methane is produced as well. From your baseline observations, about 5% of farm methane emissions come from slurry storage. Can that figure be reduced as well?
Yes, exactly. So we're having a look at that and we're implementing basically a chemical amendment that can be added to slurry tanks developed in Ireland. And that'll also, I suppose, the emissions reduction potential is very high, up to around 90%, 98%. So that is also an area. So as you mentioned, if the typical farm emissions would be around 5%, if we can reduce those emissions, that would be helpful towards achieving greater reductions on the farm.
Okay, so just what you're saying there is, Fionnuala, for people listening, that obviously we have this 51% target to meet. Agriculture has to play its part of maybe between 20 and 30%. There is technology in terms of feeding to cows which may play an important part in meeting those targets. Is that what you're saying?
There is, yes. And they're at the stage where I suppose there's a lot of research and development has gone into these different technologies, and we're at the stage where we need to get them to the commercial stage. So as we're trialling them out in this project, we're hoping to come up with a blueprint for farmers towards giving them advice and strategies how to implement these technologies on their farm. So talking about the feed additives, but also looking at other aspects of the farm, so implementing renewable energy. Solar panels, for example, could be installed on farms across the country, and that would contribute significantly to our renewable energy goals as well. In addition to that, farmers are very good at managing the land, so we can look at utilising multi-species boards, which would reduce fertiliser input into the farm as well. So really taking a holistic picture of the farm to reduce emissions from the animals, but also on farm as well, from the soil.
Okay. Professor Allen, your colleague, Professor Jude Capper, in reference to a BBC report on the climate impact of flying a private jet from Rome to COP26, was 11,281 kilos of carbon, including high altitude emissions. She says that's the equivalent of 17 years average consumption of boneless beef. The reason we make reference to that is that there is an awful lot of whataboutery going on in relation to the debate this week, that, you know, we're not as bad as you and you're not as bad as me and so on and so forth. Is that a pointless debate to actually be having and driving a wedge between farmers and other sectors?
There's a lot of pointless debates going on. I'm not sure the water battery is helpful, but the farmers do have a very good point. Fionnuala is not getting the credit she deserves for making those reductions in methane emissions because we have a 30-year out-of-date accounting system that does not value the actual warming impact of methane emissions and changes in methane emissions, and is just based on something they made up in 1990 as a sort of workaround. And that's what's got to change.
So the way we measure the instrument that's been used to measure methane emissions, you're saying, is out of date?
It is. It just doesn't reflect the impact of methane emissions on global temperature. And we now have a global temperature goal. We're aiming to keep temperatures well below 2 degrees, so as close as possible to 1.5 degrees. So it makes sense to measure the impact of policies and measures like Fionnuala was discussing in terms of their impact on global temperature. And I believe farmers, if they reduce their emissions and thereby actually reduce warming. If a farmer reduces, if Irish agriculture manages to reduce methane emissions by 10% by 2030, that'll be the equivalent of actually planting large numbers of trees and drawing CO2 out of the atmosphere in terms of your impact, the impact of Irish agriculture over that decade
global temperature. Well, it said that the ask of Irish agriculture should be somewhere closer to three times that, 30%.
Well, if they do that, I was just quoting the sort of current. If they do that, they'd be equivalent to planting even more trees. Now, where I think farmers have a very reasonable case is under all the proposals for managing land going forward, farmers will be given credit, paid to plant trees. But if farmers have exactly the same impact on global temperature by reducing methane emissions, they won't get any credit at all. They'll just be told sort of, well done, you're doing a bit less damage than you were before, which actually it completely fails to reflect the actual impact of those methane reductions on global temperature, which is why I think farmers have a very reasonable case to make, both to the Irish government and to the EU, that we should be reporting the impact of measures on global temperature, not just their impact on nominal carbon footprint.
All right, OK. Look, we're going to have to leave it there. And I know agriculture is very much the focus of the continuing COP discussions today in Glasgow. And I'll let you back to that. Professor Miles Allen, thank you very much for joining us. And I'll invite you maybe to come back on the programme again at a later stage. Also to John Keane, President of Machrane Afirma, thank you for joining us. And also Dr. Fionnuala Murphy from UCD, thanks for joining us on the programme.